This is the G Podcast with your host, Tommy B.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to episode 218 of This is the G Podcast. Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, I'm Tommy B, and each week we do news, politics, pop culture, that piping hot tea from the one and only Tanya B. Syracuse Mike has your news update. The Newsmaker crew is here to leave and by. Join me to discuss Hulu's Freaknik documentary. It's out. We'll talk about it. The DOJ's war on Apple and also justice in Mississippi. But first, let's do news with Syracuse Mike. Mike, what you got?
News team, assemble!
It's time for the Week in News with Syracuse Mike.
The blowback against Trump's comments at a weekend rally continued Monday. This is the comment getting the most attention.
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it.
Trump allies point out that comment was taken out of context because the former president said it while talking about tariffs on Chinese-made cars. Mr. Trump also referred to migrants as animals and referred to the January 6th insurrectionists as hostages. They were known as the Goon Squad, and now six former Mississippi law enforcement officers who pled guilty to a ton of state and federal charges are being sentenced this week for torturing two black men in January of 2023. The mother of one of the victims says she wants justice.
I want them to receive the same consideration they gave my son when they broke in that house and they tortured him. That's right. That's what I want to see in court.
The six white officers burst into a home without a warrant and assaulted Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker with stun guns and other objects. Jenkins was also shot in the mouth. The officers then tried to cover up their crime by planting drugs and a gun. The conspiracy fell apart after one officer told the sheriff that he lied. The U.S. is trying to negotiate a final ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas. The U.S. is not saying what it will do if Israel moves forward with its military plans for Rafah. U.S. officials have advised against a Rafah advance for fear of significant civilian casualties. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says there are other ways to go after Hamas.
It is possible and indeed necessary to deal with the ongoing threat posed by Hamas, but without a major military operation.
More Americans are getting out of Haiti daily as armed gangs continue to take over neighborhoods. Some are leaving via U.S. chartered helicopter flights, and others left on a plane from Florida that landed in Orlando. U.S. officials say it will take multiple trips to get U.S. citizens out. Hundreds of U.S. citizens remain in Haiti. Many are now trying to leave. Now all six of the former law enforcement officers convicted of torturing two black men in Mississippi early last year have been sentenced. The so-called Goon Squad received sentences ranging from 10 to 40 years. The judge imposed that 40-year sentence for one deputy, saying he committed the most shocking, brutal, and cruel acts imaginable. In a post on Truth Social, former President Donald Trump claimed he has almost $500 million in cash, which actually goes against claims by his lawyers that he would not be able to comply with the $464 million bond that he needs by Monday for his appeal in the New York civil fraud case. Mr. Trump says he had planned to use much of the money for his current presidential bid. Earlier this week, his presidential campaign asked his supporters for money in a fundraising memo. By the way, Trump hasn't contributed any of his own money to his campaign since 2016.
Thanks, Mike, for the headlines. Tlaib and Vi are here. Yes.
What's up?
Give it up. No Newsmaker trivia this week. We're on spring break, by the way, March 31st. No show. And then we'll return on April 7th with our final contestant. And I got to say congrats to the winners so far, man. Everybody's been good. Thank you, fellas. You're doing a great job with the questions, man. You know, it's been fun. It's been fun. It's been fun.
So we're going on spring break, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be freaknicking.
Speaking of that.
That cannot come back.
As
never come Khalid back.
Provides the transition, man. Hulu's long-awaited. Potentially feared. Documentary, The Wildest Party Never Told, is out. You know, Vi and I think we're more the DC Metro team.
Yeah.
Team DC Metro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vi, because it started around 82, 83.
Yep.
So we're part of the DC Metro team.
Right.
We're part of the good people.
Yeah, so it's good on both sides, right? It's good on both sides.
We're the good people.
There's good on both sides.
We had Khalid, we had morals.
Oh damn! You just Khalid has already bailed you out.
Right, come on, right. You're not so looking good, man. You know what I mean?
You changed the subject quickly, didn't you?
just as Khalid bailed you out, you go parental. Okay. Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Night for Scythe 82. You know.
I'm trying. Hey, I do better.
Mary Persons 82. Come on now.
I'm 82. I'm sorry. I'm 82.
Oh, man.
All right, now. Khalid, you lean in that transition.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm, you know, well, we're going to talk about it, but let me go ahead and frame it.
Mm-hmm.
And Vibe Magazine, I thought, did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Of the five takeaways, one of the takeaways was it could only have been in Atlanta, and I totally agree with that. At the True. Time, you know, location, weather, black leadership. At the time, black leadership was all for it. The HBCUs were behind it. It was just perfectly poised because we have, you know, so many HBCUs in the city. Number two, Vibe mentions that Freaknik really amplified hip hop's voice at the time, and it grew as time went on. It became an outlet for a situation that really filled a void. And you know, they mentioned V103, and you know, so I was like, oh, okay, and don't beat them up too bad,
right?
But shout out to DJ Nabs, who was one of the DJs I had a chance to work with at V, and you know, I explained this when DC the Brain Supreme was on, that 103.3 in Atlanta went from country to disco. Okay. Mm-hmm. When disco died, it transitioned like several stations that were disco stations across country into what they call urban contemporary. Okay. So urban contemporary didn't know what to do with rap in the beginning. And keep in mind that at the time, the folks who were listening, the adults, really didn't understand rap, nor that they want to understand rap. Those were the adults. Those were the parents.
Right.
Okay. The format was finding its way. And eventually Hot 97.5 came along in the midst of Freaknik,
mm-hmm.
which is now, I guess, 107.9.
Right.
Hot 107.9.
Okay. Right.
But V did play rap Friday nights. It played rap Saturday nights, you know, into Sunday morning, so on and so on. So they talked about the music, which I thought, you know, it's good to see Shanti Doss. You know, Shanti was what? Arista?
LaFace.
LaFace.
Yeah, she was a promo person at LaFace.
And she was pretty prominent. Rashida had a strong voice in the doc as well. And Rashida triggered me when she mentioned Greenbrier Mall and the merry-go-round. I forgot all about the merry-go-round. Where you get the fly gear. Yeah.
Right.
The number three was Luke was the one who put Freak in Freaknik. Absolutely.
He sure did.
Good or bad? He put the Freak in Freaknik.
He sure did. He put the Freak in everything.
Yeah, he did. If you remember the rapper, Jack the Rapper used to come to Atlanta. You know, Luke had a suite. And that suite, boy. Mm, that Luke suite.
Mm, yeah.
Luke. Yep.
Luke became from moving from PG to R.
The what?
Moving from PG to R, then Luke came to X.
at a rapid speed.
Yeah. Triple X. It took it to another level.
Another level. Number four, the potential $2 billion from Atlanta's 1996 Olympics led to the demise of Freaknik. And one of the guys put it best. I forgot who said it. It may have been Killer Mike. Big bank take little bank.
Right.
Is what it was all about. And really, money eventually became what cracked down on Freaknik, because they're like, oh, the Olympics are coming up in 96. We're not about to have all this. And that $2 billion is probably what made Mayor Campbell definitely crack down hard on what was happening in the streets. But really and truly, this is one of the things I think that people really talk about the most. It became uncomfortable for women,
right?
Because you just had guys coming in. It was toxic, man. And the young lady, I remember the story vividly. I mean, I had already left Atlanta. I left in 94. But I remember the story where the young lady was talking about, you know, she got into the fight,
all these guys came around her. She was on the verge of being raped.
Yeah. Jumped in her car.
Yeah, jumped in her car, pulled her out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was in my grown-up phase at that point. So it was like, oh my God, what is going on? What is happening?
Yeah, right.
So I'm gonna start with you, Talib. You didn't really watch it. You don't have any interest in watching it.
Not really.
So I want to get your take on this. I held back. I didn't want to know your rationale off mic before we got started. I want to know your rationale. Why not? Go ahead.
All right. So when the Freaknik guys were coming into town, you know, doing their interviews, I actually met with one of the people who was the filmmakers, and, you know, told him didn't really seem interested, you know? So that kind of left me a little hesitant because, you know, for two of the Freaknicks, myself and my crew were the DJs, you know, from 87 and 88, we wound up actually DJing the Freaknicks. So I couldn't really understand, you know, why you wouldn't want to talk to somebody who saw the actual progression of how, you know, I wasn't there for the beginning of Freaknik. I didn't move here until 86.
Okay.
But, you know, from 87 on, yeah, we worked with the DC Metro Club, you know, in order to, you know, make the Freaknik happen. I remember talking to a sister named Lauren, who was the president of the DC Metro Club, and how, you know, it was getting more and more difficult to find parks as the years went on. You know, 91, 92 is when we had to take it out to Exchange Park in Decatur, because, you know, we couldn't get access to any of the parks around the West End Park, Adams Park, Washington Park. You know, actually Freaknik 89 was at Washington Park. Right. So, you know, it's, I'm saying that to say that it had me kind of questioning the way that these people were trying to frame the event. So in talking to people like Jazz, who has a lot of footage, talking to Nabs, who has a lot of footage, and then even seeing Brian Barber on Instagram talking about how, you know, they didn't do people right in terms of the people who really had the footage, the stories that go along with the footage, you know, they didn't really reach out to these people in a nice manner. You know, my hesitation for really being gung-ho about the Freaknik event, the documentary, was just, like I said, I didn't know how they were trying to frame it. And based upon the conversations that they were having with others, I was like, this is about to be some bullshit.
Yeah. I think Talib, and from hearing you say this, it leads me to believe they just wanted the legend.
So let's talk about this, because I've been talking to people who have watched the video, who have watched the documentary, and, you know, Nabs, they actually did the premiere here on Thursday, at the bank on Bankhead, Hollowell. And, I was talking to Nabs about it, and he said that all of the footage was just from whatever cattle call they did to receive videos from the general public. So everything is outside. You know, you see some, you know, he said that there were, you know, there was plenty of park view or people just kind of walking down the street, but there was no real substance to a lot of the footage that they had. So, you know, again, I watched the demise of Freaknik as it moved from just this college party, you know, at the beginning of the reading period before finals, you know, to Like I was telling you before, I got approached in 92 by Ed Rucker, who was trying to take Freaknik out to Lakewood, Lakewood Fairgrounds. And he was, you know, trying to capitalize. It wasn't, again, that was the demise, because, well, I look at it as the demise, because that's when the commercial aspects really started to come in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Now they're trying to sell tickets and doing this and all this other stuff, you know. Now, so then with me having all the groups, you know, from doing the street promotions, you know, this was, Freaknik was one of the main things where I used to request product for, to yeah. make sure that we had enough posters and cassette singles and CD singles, flyers to hand out, you know, during the event. You know, and then in 94, now, again, I wasn't part of the planning of it or anything like that, so I can't say honestly, but all I can really do is look at it from an outsider standpoint and kind of make assessments. And yeah. what I saw was that in 92 was the first year that they shut the street down. Mm-hmm. So Peachtree Street, from Five Points up until maybe about Baker Street, was just totally shut down. You know, mm-hmm. the police were out there, and it was people just walking around. And when I saw that, I was like, this is going to be a problem. You know, 93, they did it again because of the cruising. You know, that's when, you know, they shut the streets down. And I was just like, yo, this is not going to be good. So what happened in 94 is that, you know, being that now BET is, you know, involved, because now they're out there at Lakewood filming, and now I got acts coming into town that I now have to take around to all of these concerts and stuff like that. Bill Campbell, everybody wanted a park permit for Freaknik 94. Uh-huh. And there were no park permits left. Any park, yeah. every park
That's in crazy. Atlanta,
there was a permit available, or they secured permits so that all of these little Freaknik parties could happen. But what wound up happening was Bill Campbell canceled, or Bill Campbell's office wound up canceling all of the park permits.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right before, you know, all these people start coming to town. So with no place to go, and, you know, the only thing that people know coming into town is Peachtree Street.
Yep.
Peachtree Street became the parking lot.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not going to say, well, let me just say it. Poor planning on the mayor's office is what led to the traffic situation as bad as it was. Mm-hmm. You know, police officers weren't out there to direct traffic, which would have made sense, keep people moving on the street. You know, it just got, it was, oh, I don't know if either one of you guys were in Freaknik 94. I was.
Well, yeah, I left Atlanta January 94.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. And went to Texas. So,
okay.
But so, I remember all of it during the 90s, early 90s, up to like 93. Right.
What you, Thomas and Vi, and listeners, you know, and watchers of the G podcast, I don't know if you could properly imagine what being in Atlanta traffic was like for Freaknik 94. But let me just say this. By 11 o'clock, Peachtree Street from Magic City up to Pine Street, where Emory University Hospital is right now, was a complete standstill. Yeah. By 11 a.m.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because again, people had no place to go. The only park that actually still had its permit was Piedmont, and that's where the Biggie concert happened. But, you know, this, I mean, and so what happens is everybody's on the street. Peachtree Street is at a standstill, so people are trying to get around Peachtree, you know, to all these side streets to get onto Peachtree Street, which meant that all the streets going into Peachtree were now traffic blocked. And then that just started, it just started jamming, and it got to the point where, yeah, you could literally not move. So the violence the especially when it comes to the assaults, it happened because with no place to go, you were stuck right there. And you're in a party mood. So now, you know, people are jumping out the cars. They're going over to other cars, talking, blah, blah, blah. All that's cool until the girls start popping and shaking. Because twerking wasn't really a word at that point. Mm-hmm. And once that started happening, now the, you know, you got guys like unfortunately, you know, my favorite fraternity, you know, who can't seem to control themselves when pretty women come out. You know what I mean? And so now it's, you know, it's the big show, as opposed to, you know, the girl may have gotten on the car, you know, just for a hot second to say, oh yeah, it's Freaknik, I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But, you know, as people start surrounding, the show starts and people, you know, mob rules. You know how it goes with mob rules, you know?
Yeah, big time.
So everybody's now getting caught up in the moment.
Yeah, well, let me say, man, and because up to 93, I left in 93.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get to you in a minute, Bob, but I'll say the role when I was here and, you know, being in the studio, we were down with Ralph McGill and Piedmont, right in that area. Okay.
Right.
The role was to let the public know to keep it moving.
Right.
And don't stop the cruising. The cops are out. You know, it's just like we stopped the music and have to go live and just say, you know, look, y'all, you know, the police have informed us that anybody caught crew, you know, that they were going to start breaking down. So that was more so like 92, 93.
Right.
The DC Metro stuff was like, what, wholesome compared to what it became. I mean, you look at an organic event out of need that became this legend. Vi, where were you, man? Real quick. Where were you?
I think I was married, probably working as a manager at Walmart at that time. So I was in my adult phase.
you were far removed.
Right, far removed in that life, my adult phase.
Yeah, but see, a lot of people had heard, and again, I had moved away, but I was still in the industry, and I was hearing about it. So I was still talking to a lot of people, and I had family here, and everybody was calling me, saying, man, what is going on? But go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, but I had, listen to what Akeem said. That's what I got from looking at it. I said, from looking at it, what the mayor of them said, they said one thing, but they did another thing. To me, they made it where it had to fail.
Yeah.
They wasn't trying. All they want to say is, we tried. No, y'all did not try because y'all shit every exit down with all them people coming to us. So what you thought was going to happen?
Yeah.
And then like you said, they didn't even talk about the park you said. They made it. I'm just not hearing what you just said. So they said, they closed all the park and shit everything.
Right.
So what were them thousands and thousands of people going to do?
Right.
You knew they was coming to town.
You knew it.
If you knew they was coming to town and you wanted to see, you would have had something for them to do. But all y'all did was bring a bunch of cops down to police.
Right.
You didn't bring a bunch of cops down to make sure everything was safe. They was there to police. Y'all were there to make sure things did go bad. But y'all can say, we tried. Y'all didn't try. You didn't try. I mean, things was getting out of hand, but y'all made it get out. Y'all didn't help it. Y'all made it worse.
So, Vi, I want to ask you, Vi. I want to ask you, and I want to move on. Mm-hmm. We got a couple more things to talk about, but I do want to ask you, Vi, as an outsider, what would you give the documentary?
I mean,
good.
I'm just saying, okay. Because the way they made it seem like you're going to see all this horrible stuff that happened, like make sure, you know, your grandparents do it. I really didn't see. They made it PG, but if you really paid attention to it, you can tell the mayor done made it work. Because they had already made up their mind that we're not going to do this. But instead of saying that, they said, well, we got to at least make it seem like we tried. Well, y'all did. Y'all did not try. Y'all had already made up your mind because the little Olympic was on the stand to say that we're going to do this. Y'all had already made up your mind. Y'all just didn't want to say it because y'all know it. They know if they had said it, they won't get a fight.
Exactly.
So they're going to say, we're going to make sure things go bad
make sure things go really bad and show it, but we can say, okay, now we got to really shut it down. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got out of him, what he just said.
Yeah.
For him to even to say that, I had already got that from looking at the video. I'm going, dang, they made it worse. Mm-hmm. It almost seemed like Salem by the folk crossing the bridge. You got cops on horses. So, that would remind me when I saw it. I'm going, damn, they got cops and horses. So what y'all there for?
Yeah,
right.
And then you got all these white cops there. I know what they was there for.
Exactly.
They made it worse.
So by just real quick, 1 to 5. What do you give it?
A 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Go to you to lead last word on
last it. Last thing I really want to say is for people that haven't watched the video or documentary or won't be watching it or whatever the case might be, you know, even the name Freaknik came about. The name Freaknik came because everything in those early 80s was Greek. You had the Greek beachnik, you know, Jones Beach. You had Greek picnic in Philly. All these Greek functions. So even the name Freaknik was just, you know, it wasn't about being freaky. It was for the freaks, because if you weren't a Greek, you were a freak.
They said in the documentary, the DC Metro folks were saying they took it also from the song Le Freak.
The Freak.
Okay. From the Cheek song.
And the
you know, because at the time, freak, you know, of course,
right.
That's Freak Out. Again, that's, you know, they just themed it. Mm-hmm. They themed it. And it stuck.
Yeah.
Last word, Vi, because we got to go. We got one more thing to talk about. Well, just last, real quick.
By watching the movie, they did tell me things I did not know. The thing I like about it, they explain why it started.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed how it progressively got worse. But my thing is, Atlanta, the politicians, to me, they made it worse. They didn't try to stop it. They just made it so bad where they can say, we tried. Mm-hmm. But you did. And watch it, you didn't try. Right. Like what my man said, the guy from the Fab Five, closed up, he said, what he was saying, we go to restaurants, they didn't want to service. You go to a hotel, they didn't want to stay in a hotel. So they made it worse. And like the girl said, they protected the white neighborhood. So they said, y'all can't come here.
Right.
So they made it worse. It can't come back, though, because it did get too bad. It can't come. If it's going to come back, it can't be Freaky. It got to have another name.
I think ultimately, man, I'm... My thing is, I'll give it about a 3.5.
Right.
Big bank take little bank.
That's what it was.
Because
it was a money grab.
In the beginning, the cash was so good for the vendors and the city. Because as you know, like if you've lived in Atlanta for a while, downtown was kind of dying because everything was going to the burbs. Okay, so when you have that many people, even though you did have a strong convention center, you know, basically, you know, the convention business here has always been strong, to have all that cash flowing in the streets early on before it got bad was a good thing. So they loved the money until the Olympics came, and that's more money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So somebody said, hey, wait a minute, $2 billion versus $15
million.
Right. Let's do the math.
Right.
And that was it. $2 billion potential. And we have to prove to the IOC, International Olympic Committee, that we can host an event this size and not have incident.
Right.
So I think eventually it came down to big bank, take a little bank. All right, we'll stop there. Definitely, we'd love your thoughts. A lot of folks probably in our age range were DC Metro, Team DC Metro. But if you weren't DC, Team DC Metro, love your thoughts on what we're saying here. Real quick, Apple and DOJ. And the Apple, and you know, of course, Apple, the company, and the Department of Justice. The only thing I have to say is, why the timing, Merrick? Why? I mean, I understand the need to go after a $1 trillion company. But, you know, it's, you know, we talked about this a couple episodes. It's like sometimes You know, why punish people for being successful? Why punish success? You know, this is about the iPhone. That's the cash cow. And you know, full disclosure, you know, that's all I've ever used. You know, you know, when it comes down to mobile phone, I've always been Apple, never used a Droid. And I do understand Apple does everything possible to protect that iPhone. They're going to do everything. And for a lot of folks who aren't iPhone users or vendors who have other types of devices like the Droid, it feels like it puts you at a disadvantage. But, you know, really, y'all really concerned about the blue bubble and the green?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seemed when they were outlining this in the press conference, I said, really? Y'all, you know, because and a couple more things, the Apple Watch, there's a concern that the Apple Watch does not work with the iPhone. Y'all knew it wasn't going to work with you knew it wasn't going to work with the Droids. Okay. Right. They make their devices for the work worth their phone. There's a reason for that.
Right.
They talked about the future of the apps, the Apple's, was it the app fees if you're a developer? And I mean, they have, Apple has strict guidelines. I mean, our podcast is on Apple Podcast. Their guidelines are very strict. You got to have the right artwork. You got to have everything to be on that Apple Pod, Apple Podcast. So we're in the Apple Pod, but we have to obey their guidelines. The other thing is, this is not going to be an overnight struggle. I mean, this thing is going to be probably 3 years before there's a settlement or some kind, mm-hmm. because that's what Microsoft went through.
Right.
And then we're looking at potentially the another 4 years, you know, up to 4 years when it comes down to appeals. So, you use Droid, right, Talib?
Phone-wise, yeah. Phone-wise,
you use Droid.
Mm-hmm.
Vi, you used the iPhone. When you heard this, what was your thought, man, when you heard they were going after Apple?
I don't understand. I'm going, you're going to tell me I have to design something for Android? Android design their own stuff.
Yeah.
If they want a watch, they make a watch store with Android.
Yeah, Samsung has a watch. Samsung has a watch.
So what's the problem? I mean, you telling me I work for Apple. I am Apple. I make my stuff for Apple. Why I got to make my stuff Android friend?
Yeah.
That don't make no sense. That's competition. And you have a choice. You can buy Apple or you can buy Android. It's not like we're saying you ain't got it. That is a choice. So explain to me, where is the monopoly?
Yeah.
Where's
that's
monopoly?
The kid. Yeah.
Explain, Amico. Like you said, Android has a watch. Okay. Then what's the monopoly? It's not like you're saying you can't make a watch. We just saying, you want my watch, you gotta have an iPhone. So I don't explain to somebody, explain to me where's the monopoly.
Yeah. You know what I thought? I thought the part of the lawsuit, they were going to talk about the fact that they make you upgrade. Your phone starts dying.
Boy.
Your first, but better, they didn't even mention that.
Yeah,
they didn't talk about the fact that, you know, you, at a point where you can't upgrade or you can't software updates. You can't, they didn't even talk about that. Everything is really focused on the competition, but Samsung is doing just fine. I don't understand why Samsung.
Why is the government got involved? Is Samsung the government is suing? So I don't understand. Something. And I call myself reading. I'm going, why are y'all suing them? Why the government getting involved in this?
Talib, you use a Droid. So when you saw this,
Well, I've used iPhone over the years. I'm not a snob like that, you know.
They call us a snob.
Yeah, I'm not saying no. I wasn't calling y'all a snob, but you know, I know people who you know just are. Oh, if it's not an Apple, those guys.
Exactly.
I'm like, it's a phone. Right damn it.
It's
you
a
know
phone.
What I mean, does it dial? Can you hear?
Right.
You know,
like my girlfriend, she's an Android. Her son, I said, what you doing in the family? I said, your kids got iPhone. I got iPhone.
iPhone
her
is
better. Her thing was, my phone take better pictures. That's enough for her.
She said,
Android take better pictures than iPhone. So I'm not going that route. I said, okay, fine.
Yeah. You know,
everybody's got their reason for what
exactly,
they brought
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And really,
that's what concerned me when I saw this, because I said, wait a minute, this is not a situation where you don't have a choice.
Okay.
So if this were a situation, and you know, the other thing that bothers me about this is DOJ politicians like Warren, people can't afford houses right now.
That's what they're talking about.
Housing market. You've got hedge funds buying up
the house
inventory and markets driving the prices up.
Yes.
Y'all not investigating that? You've got grocery prices going up, and there's really no clear explanation as to why we're paying. And y'all want to focus on this?
Well, I can tell why the grocery prices are going up.
Well,
it's logistics.
But again, I get what you're saying, but there are larger consumer issues right now.
That should be one of them. If you're gonna get on Apple, get on them by making sure I don't have to buy a product.
Yeah,
to meet their upgrade.
Right.
That's my problem. Right. That's my problem with the Apple products.
Right.
You know, it's not so much. I like the fact that Apple is kind of closed formatted, because it means that everything there's a uniformity across their product line.
Right.
And that makes sense, because if you can work an iPhone, then you can work an iPad.
Right.
It's easy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you think that my product is obsolete. No, it still works.
That, again, and that's what, but I do think that from what I was, I read another article, and those are the things that they were highlighting, is the fact that, you know, you are forced to basically upgrade. Past a certain point, you cannot use the legacy products.
That's what the government should be getting on right there.
Right.
They should make any new design to come up.
But they can make an argument for that, because I got a 14-year-old brick over here. 14-year-old
I'm saying,
laptop that's a brick. It is a tabletop brick.
So any new design you got, it should be able to work with my old stuff. I should not have to get rid of my old stuff to make it work.
Right, yeah.
It's interesting, man. But I just saw this and I said, "Hey, we got more important stuff to deal with, like Trump in jail." They're just supposed to be putting Trump in jail right about now. But anyway,
this is not the first time that they've talked about this either. You know,
I remember this
a few years back where they were talking about, you know, there was going to be some antitrust stuff going on. I really think that the bottom, one of their roots. Root problems with the Apple infrastructure is the government can't just access people's phones. You know, you have to go through.
I agree. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. That's why I like the fact that they keep, because you know what? Here's the deal. I don't trust Google.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I don't.
So if they are on their own infrastructure, they promise me security, then so be it. I look at that from a standpoint of safety, and that's what they push. Honestly, that's why people have peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everything is a little bit more expensive for peace of mind.
Right.
All right, I'll give you the last word to leave, and we got to go to Mississippi for a minute. We're not going to stay long in Mississippi, but we need to talk about Mississippi. Go ahead, Tlaib. Last word.
Like I said, it's just a matter. I don't. There's always a reason to follow the money, and we need to when we see stuff like this when we question the timing of these events. We really need to find out what else is happening behind the scenes, because it's always sleight of hand, you know, or Wizard of Oz type.
I agree. I mean, did Tim Cook say he was putting his money behind Trump or something? What happened? Mm-hmm. I don't get the timing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not anything he said, but I'm just wondering the timing.
Yeah,
right. You know, finally, some justice in Mississippi. Six officers from Mississippi Goon Squad. Yeah, let's go ahead and give it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've been sentenced to prison for torturing two black men.
But do they get
90 parole? Minute torture? 90 minutes.
Do they have
beatings?
Can they get parole?
I don't know yet.
Or early release?
We'll see. And I'm, it's interesting because, you know, what I didn't know was that, that this went on for 90 minutes. The beatings, repeated use of stun guns, assault, sex toy.
Shot him in the mouth.
One victim, shot him in the mouth, mock execution. Yes.
Just messed up by not killing him.
So one guy got 40 years, one guy got 20 years, not even going to say his name on the podcast. Another guy, two guys got 17.5 years, and one got 27 years. And the final member, I think, was given 10 years. They all had pled guilty back in 2023 when this happened. You know, and the I guess the most egregious thing was that they devised a cover-up.
Right.
Where they were planting drugs, a gun.
Trying to put him in jail.
Yeah, one going to jail for years.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on this, man?
I'm not big on a death penalty, but I don't think they should be eligible for parole. They should be life in prison, no chance parole. They need the whole 20 years, the 10, however many years they got, I think they should do all of it. No parole. Because they were officers.
Right.
They're not just regular people. Y'all were officers.
Yeah, yeah. They betrayed their oath. Yeah.
So they should get no early release, no parole. That's why I asked that question. No early release. Because they get early release from parole, then that just, that, to me, that defeats, that's no destiny.
Right. Okay. Khalid?
I agree with Vine. You know, my, again, we hold you, when people are in these positions, we hold them to a higher standard. And this is not that standard. Yeah. This is so below that standard, you know. And so, but it, we need to have more of this happening so that these police officers, you know, and judges and lawyers and all these people in this legal system have to realize that at some point you will be held accountable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely glad that, you know, these six officers are going to jail for, you know, a good amount of time. I think that it's a shame that that's all the time they have because they've been doing this for over 20 years.
This is the first time they got caught.
20 years
of
terrorizing the community.
One quick question for both you guys. Why Mississippi? Again.
Why Mississippi?
Why does it keep happening? In, why? I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to pick on Mississippi here, but it just seems to me that and the interesting thing about it, we're talking, it's been 60 years since the death of the civil rights workers in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. You remember that? They kind of set everything off.
Yes.
This is the 60th anniversary.
Until they get the right people in charge and gun back. Because like they got his boss, the people over him, they should be fired.
Yeah.
They still got their jobs. So to me, he was helping them cover it up. He's been gone for 20 years. So this ain't been gone for 20 years too. You had whoever their boss is, he knew about it.
Right. And this is just 20 years of the goon squad. This is not, you know, all the other. Again, Mississippi has created a cult. Corporate culture.
Right.
You know, I use that term a lot, especially in dealing with, you know, businesses because the culture of Mississippi is terrible right now. Yeah. You know, and people want to do stuff, but they keep running into these roadblocks. Why was the governor of Mississippi trying to take over Jackson?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why is he trying to put, come on now. You know, look, man, there's a whole lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes. There are people who are making money off the fact that Mississippi is the way that it is. Crappy water and everything. So, you know, that we cannot retrain people to not be greedy.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we have to put things in place to check the balance of power.
So true.
Think about it now. Brett Favre. what is he in trouble for? Taking welfare money to build.
Mississippi.
Ain't no Leslie. Hey, let me tell you.
He has made it doing it. He's found guilty. He's just trying to keep him paying some more money. Ain't no Leslie. Right.
Well, if he's still in court, Ron. I'm not saying I know how I feel. And how you
taking
feel.
Taking welfare money, and he's rich. Right. He just donated the money himself.
Exactly.
I agree with you. All right, y'all. But you know, it for me, because the Goon Squad thing reaches into multiple states. Even going, you know, this happened in Louisiana, if you recall, not too recent, a couple of years ago. Something similar, but this is just egregious, man. This is, you know, this is a movie, you know, a movie in the making.
Hey, remember, you know, that, there's no racism in America now.
And that's my whole thing. That's why when, and see, here's the thing. When you hear people like Tim Scott, or you hear people like Candace Owens, you hear these folks, you know, running off at the mouth about what this situation, what this country isn't or is or isn't. Things like this happen and they go silent. You don't hear them say anything about it. You'll hear them report it. Right. So there you go, Tim Scott. All right, y'all. Let's go around let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'll start with you. Vi, I'll go ahead and start with you with your take of the week. Now, what you got?
Okay, DEI. All the public colleges get rid of DEI programs. If y'all gonna do this, I think the federal government should let these schools know, okay, we're gonna watch y'all. And if they do it, the federal government should take the money from them.
Yeah.
So if you're a state-funded school and you got DE problem, they should say, okay, since you're going to get rid of all the money, then get rid of DE program, you're not allowed to have government funded. You're not allowed to have federal government funded money.
Right.
And watch them to see if it got worse. Watch them. Because they seen the thing. There's no racism. It's not needed. It was put there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I hate to say it, if you're a black athlete, don't go to no school to get rid of DEI program. Don't go there.
It's like in Florida. Yeah,
Alabama finna do it too.
Alabama, yeah, State Alabama's
Alabama.
About to do it.
State of Alabama. Yeah. So
wow,
trust me, I got skin in the game.
Don't go there. I mean,
yeah,
I'm gonna remain silent for a minute. But
I'm gonna say this. I'm not gonna say don't go there. If that's your only choice, I get it. That's your only choice. But if you have a choice,
right,
eliminate that school and go somewhere else. Only if you got a choice. Now, if you don't have a choice, I understand you got to do what you got to do to make it to the next level. But if you have a choice, don't go there. Don't go there if you got a choice.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, man. And I remember because Georgia has got Jones, Lieutenant Governor, who wants to be another Trump. And another, you know, DeSantis. I hope he's more of a DeSantis than he is a Trump. But bottom line is, this is his big push in the state of Georgia, okay? And eventually, I don't know why it hasn't already happened. If you recall in Georgia when they were doing the heartbeat bill and a lot of these companies threatened to leave.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think eventually it's gotta be commerce that threatens. Look, just like you said, Vi, on the federal side, they may not always be able to pull the money because it may hurt individual students.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, I think ultimately, man, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, even with the bathroom bill that happened in North Carolina, commerce, the business community stepped up and said, look, you do it and we're not going to have another convention in your state. We're pulling our convention money. The movie business. I'm amazed the movie business hasn't been more outspoken in terms of where they'll do business because they were big, they were pretty heavy when it came down to the heartbeat bill here in Georgia. But it's interesting. I think it's going to take, you're absolutely right. It comes down to money. And if there's no threat of going into somebody's pocket, then they're going to continue to do it. Okay. I'm going to go to you, Tlaib. What's your big take for the week?
My big take of the week comes from Breitbart.com.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Look at the Breitbart.
Right. Fox News contributor and Washington Post columnist Mark Thiessen said Friday on Special Report that Republicans needed to stop nominating lunatics to win elections. So what he says, basically, he was being interviewed
on the special report on Fox, and he was saying that, you know, he was talking about the Mike Johnson thing, you know, because MTG has now called for Johnson to step down as Speaker of the House. And he's like, yo, he said, Republicans need to understand that they control one half of one branch of government, and now they're going to control it by one vote. You can't impose your will on the entire government when you have one half of one branch of government with one vote.
Yeah.
He also said, you know, that it was just the whole thing. Look, when Republicans are saying, stop nominating these lunatics, just win elections. That was his main point. You know, he's like, yo, now we got to wait another couple of weeks to get a speaker. So now Congress does nothing again because MTG wants to make a, you know, a show.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Republicans. I'm embarrassed for Dalton, man, for Dalton and Rome.
Yeah.
You know,
but they couldn't. I don't know if they could have known.
They
brought her back.
They know exactly. They bought her back. They know exactly. They know exactly who she is. I will not be moving to Rome, Dalton, any city in that district.
Exactly. The funniest thing that he said was to me was that he added that I want to cut spending too. I want to do all these things. Yeah. If you want to do that, there's a simple way to do it. Yeah. Win elections.
Yeah, win. And you know what? We could do a whole podcast on this, man. The amount of money, and I said this weeks ago, the amount of money that Trump is using now that he's taken over the Republican Party, you know, now that he's merged toward his legal bills, is going to be the end of that party, I tell you, depending on how this goes. Now, we are taping the Monday before this big New York either takeover or he comes up with the money for bond. But if the money, you got to come up with over $400 million. And if that comes out of your election, your reelection or the presidential election campaign fund, that's a significant amount.
And
right now, you know, Biden is leading like 2-1 or more.
And
when
eight,
it comes down
like
to
eight
cash
polls,
on hand.
Eight or nine polls.
Yeah. I mean, no, I mean, in terms of cash.
Oh,
cash
right.
On hand.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because they said one of his convention had to get shut down because they had no money.
They had no money. Well, the money eventually is going to pay, is going to play a big part when it comes down to marketing, advertising, and boots on the ground.
It was funny to me. They asked me why they rich folk ain't doing it. Because they rich folk. No, he lies about everything. Nobody going to back you. Now that you just went, they proved in the court that you've been lying about everything. They said, this dude broke. We're not getting him no money. If you're so rich, then get the bail.
Well, no, you know, he heard the comment that he made on True Social saying that he's got $500 million that he was looking to put, you know, into his campaign. And now it's...
Right. Well, hey, let me tell you, it's not over till Monday. Now, as we tape this before the release of the podcast is on Sunday. So when you guys, when our audience gets this, if some of you listen to it mainly Sunday and Monday, then there'll be some type of indication of whether or not he has the money. And so we'll see.
No problem. And why do you think we should feel sorry for him? If they arrest me and I ain't got the bail money, y'all gonna feel sorry for me if I ain't got the bail money?
I don't know where you heard that vibe, because I haven't heard it. I don't know what circles you travel in.
No, I mean, you're not hearing
no
it.
There's no pity party for Trump.
You're not hearing any of that. That was on the internet, or I read the guy said,
in those circles.
He said, why aren't these billionaires offering him their property or whatever to give him, but you can get bail.
You know, there was an interview where Kevin O'Leary, from Shark Tank was on, and the guy was like, so are you going to back Trump? And he's like,
But yet he's talking about how bad it is for America.
Yeah, because they know Trump. He's about to go and say, he's a liar. You can't, depend on him to stick by his word.
People have been stiff. So many people have been stiff.
He did it to himself.
So true. All right, my last take is I'm watching Russia, man. I'm watching what's going on as we tape this. You've got 133 and counting people dead in this attack, which ISIS has actually claimed responsibility for. And the reason I'm watching it is the timing of it and what's coming out of the Kremlin, because, man, Joe Biden can't catch a break when it comes down to foreign affairs, because they're already saying, okay, that because of the backing of Ukraine, that, you know, Russia's using this, I guess, as propaganda for the war in Ukraine, saying they could potentially, it's just, in my opinion, it's getting messy. I think we should pay close attention.
I think we should.
Just like what happened October 7th, you know, it gives people reason to craft their story, to do what they want to
right.
do.
Right.
And I'm more concerned about Russia, because Russia has nukes. Well, Israel has nukes, but yet and still, this is going to be a situation where, depending on how, because, you know, this is a terror attack.
Right.
So countries use terror attacks as a reason to go all out.
Right.
You know, to as they said in Pulp Fiction, to go medieval. You know, and so it's going to be interesting to see, because you're hearing, quote unquote, in these conspiracy theorists, they're saying, well, ISIS is America is, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know, man, the temperature has ticked up we don't have time to really go into it in detail here, because it's just happening. It's happening real mm-hmm. time as we tape, but the temperature is ticking up, you know, and the Ukraine situation doesn't help. The Israel situation doesn't help. Yeah. This is going to be something we need to watch. I'm going to go to you, Talib, and then we'll wrap.
Yeah, just real quick. I found it very interesting that the U.S. Embassy had reported to the Kremlin for 3 weeks that there was going to be some kind of attack on large groups, and had been telling, you know, people to stay away, telling Americans to stay away. Yeah. I also find it very strange that, or maybe not so strange, after the Afghan situation, that, you know, they would, that ISIS would wait 20 something years after Russia has left Afghanistan to make some kind of attack, you know? And the real question is if ISIS can get into Russia, why can't Ukraine? Why has Ukraine? I mean, in this whole conflict,
the timing is honestly okay.
Because Russia is watching Ukraine. All they focus on Ukraine. They're not watching ISIS. Russia is barely hanging on with Ukraine. So ISIS, they're not watching us right now.
Yeah. All right, I think I'm pretty sure we're going to be talking about this next week.
I don't like
to talk foreign affairs. Right. I don't like to really spend a whole lot of time, but I think this is something we might get pulled into.
Yeah. Okay?
Love your feedback. Love your thoughts. Go to castropolis.net. Choose the people poll. Leave us a voicemail. I'll play back the best, of course. We're off next week. We're taking a break the week of the 31st, and we'll be back April 7th. Shout out again. Thank you so much, Talib Shabazz. Appreciate you, man. Let me know when you watch that documentary.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll get it on bootleg.
Shoot me a text.
I'll be looking. Get it down at the West End Mall.
You'll be watching at the barbershop at the West End. Right. There you go. Bye. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you, dog. Appreciate you, man. Like the commentator. Thank you, sir. All right, y'all, let's go ahead and do the tea with Tanya B. Appreciate y'all, man.
More. This is the G Podcast after the break.
Hey, this is Tommy B from This is the G Podcast. I want to encourage all my G's who reside in the area of Jonesboro, Stockbridge, Covington, Conyers, South Gwinnett. That's the new Georgia Congressional District 13 to vote for Karen Renee for Congress. Karen Renee is a true advocate for her constituents and truly believes in empowering the people. Visit electkarenrenee.com for more information, and also find out where
whether you're in the new District 13, follow her campaign on Facebook at Elect Karen Renee. Let's support a candidate who truly represents the people.
Now then, children, it's time for tea.
It's tea time, y'all. Sipping the tea with Tanya B.
All right, it's time for tea, y'all. It's your girl, Tanya B, right here on This Is The G Podcast. So, of course, this tea we sip here is the GT. Let's just get right to it. First of all, I want to start out being a little serious for a change, but prayers up to Princess Kate. You know, she's got three kids. It's been revealed recently that she's battling cancer. I'm hearing it may be stage four, which is very difficult to beat, for lack of a better term. She's only 42 years old. Let's honor her request for privacy. Imagine having to explain your situation to a six-year-old, okay? So just prayers up to her. We know the royal family can be real shady with this stuff, but this is serious. Once again, who's winning? Don Lemon. He is back with his show. Check it out after you check out the G Podcast each and every day on YouTube 3 days a week. All right, let me just say this. Bruno Mars, is he or is he not into the MGM for millions of dollars in gambling debts? Well, let me just say this. The MGM Grand has come forth saying he doesn't owe us that much money. They didn't say he didn't owe any money. They just said it wasn't that much. Either way, I smell something over there a little rancid in the milk, because it is bad for the MGM brand to have anybody owe them that much money, and that's all I'm going to say. Did you see the NAACP, the Color Purple Image Awards last weekend? Five on to the Color Purple. Fantasia had the best speech. What in the Frankie Beverly is going on? He's on this farewell tour. We know Frankie can't sing anymore. But the Image Awards, who get all this foo-foo about lifetime achievement, Frankie Beverly, and all this Who Shot John, you know, his award ceremony was not part of the televised broadcast. Mm-hmm. Smells something over there, too. Well, if you like biopics, get ready for another one. Later than sooner, a biopic of Philadelphia's own Boys to Men. Now, they went from five, a quintet, they went to a quartet, now they are a trio. Will they tell what really went down? And you know, I gotta talk about the ex-boothang of out-of-work actor, Jonathan Majors. She really did ruin his career, but he kind of helped, like, shake and bake anyway. She had him out there running in them streets, fighting and all of that whatnot, and now he is suing her for defamation, assault, and battery, and some other things. Now here she come trying to sue him again after he sued her for some of the same things. But I just say, there's more to this story too. If somebody was that physically abusive, would you stay? I know I wouldn't. She's talking about he called her a liar when he filed the false police report. I'm like, girl, you better go ahead and sit down somewhere. If somebody threw me on the hood of a car, I'd be gone like Black History Month. Okay, I'm just saying. Now, wait, everybody knows everybody was stuck in the house, Tommy B, during COVID. Folks hooked up and whatnot. And one of them was Marlon Wayans. Now, he did it with this girl who was or was some type of model. But I heard she also got a job in finance or something along like that. Anyway, they ended up shacked up. So then when the pandemic allowed us to go back outside, honey, Marlon Wayans went back outside, never came back inside. Now she's suing him because she wants over $20,000 a month in child support and other expenses for this one-year-old secret love child little girl. He said, get out my business. I'm 51. Yes, she's 34. There's so much more to that, too. People want to fight up in here. Who wants to fight? Oh, my goodness. I got to talk about this. Well, you know, the freaking documentary is out. You know, you might see your parents, your grandparents. You know, you won't see me because I wasn't there. But the reviews are actually mixed on this documentary, Tommy D. A lot of the bad things that went on were glossed over. And here come Uncle Luke talking about he wants to have a part two. What for? It wouldn't be but about 10 minutes long. unless it became, oh, shout out to Harold Michael Harvey, the Fritznik lawyer. I'm telling you, the stock footage that they use in this documentary is the same stuff that's been on YouTube for years. And they people say, why 21 Savage all up in there? Because he's one of the producers, a.k.a. one of the people that wrote a check, like Jermaine Dupri and like Uncle Luke. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't really excited. I might be excited about this. Dr. Dre got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he said there is a new Eminem album coming later on this year. Tracy Morgan out here playing, talking about he took the weight loss drug and he gained 40 pounds. Are we really into another Ghostbusters again? Reviews? And, but I gotta say this. April 12th, Netflix, Good Times, the animated version. Half the original cast is no longer with us, but you will hear the voices of Jay Farrow, who's probably going to be JJ, Yvette Nicole Brown, probably Willona, and JB Smooth and a host of others. That's all I got. Have a great week. Don't forget, this is G Podcast on the YouTube channel each and every day. Like, share, subscribe, follow. You know all of that stuff I'm talking about. All right, I'm out of here, y'all.
Big thanks to Tanya B. Vide, to lead author and political analyst Harold Michael Harvey. Thanks to the crew, Millennial Nick, Lady J, Regia, music by K-Dub, all those who help us make it happen each and every single week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're on spring break this upcoming week, the week of the 31st, but we'll return on April 7th. Sign up for our final round of Newsmaker Crew Trivia. That's Newsmaker Trivia. Go to castropolis.net. Win an autographed copy of the new book from author Harold Michael Harvey, Watch Night. Again, sign up at castropolis.net. Subscribe, turn on notifications for new episodes, y'all. And with that, episode 218 is in the can. Have a great week. Peace and power to the people.
You've been listening to This is the G Podcast. This is the G Podcast is a production of the Castropolis Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.